Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I was just listening to a Peter Ducey report here. Peter Ducey was talking about how the NATO Secretary General is going to be, is he at the White House today? Let me look here. I'll get you the full story here in just a second when I pull up the audio files here. Scanning the Fox News Radio headlines here. Of course, we just had the Fox News Radio update there as well. But this is what this is what's kind of interesting to me, especially because, as you know, we'll talk about the biggest stories of the day here, whether it's a national story, whether it's something here in Montana, you name it. But even if we talk about national stories, we're always looking for what is the Montana angle? What is the Montana connection? What is the Montana, you know, hook on it all? And so the big story over the weekend is that President Trump has basically lost patience with Russian President Vladimir Putin. You know, President Trump has said since day one he wants to see peace. He wants to see a peace deal here between Ukraine and Russia. And Putin is still playing games. And so now the big story is that President Trump is looking at some new sanctions here against Russia, as he's got the head of NATO apparently coming to a meeting with President Trump here later today. Peter Ducey's got a report I can play for you here in just a second. But here's the opportunity that I see from a Montana standpoint. So over the weekend, Energy Secretary Chris Wright was down in Wyoming. The Secretary of Energy, Chris Wright, has a home here in Montana, as I understand it, so spends a lot of time here in Montana. That's why our Montana folks know him so well and have gotten to respect him so much as well. But he was down in Wyoming, and let me pull up the story. I'm going to just go straight to our Montana Talks website. Now, I just cross-posted a whole bunch of new content for you this morning here, so it might take a little while for me to pull it up here. But basically, yeah, here we go. Ranchester, Wyoming, celebrates the groundbreaking for the first United States rare earth mine in decades. So groundbreaking ceremony for the first rare earth mine in decades. Energy Secretary Chris Wright was there over the weekend. But anyway, I put that one on your radar because, hey, it's an interesting story, and it's got more people saying, hey, we need more mining in Montana. We need more mining in America. This was the opening of the Brook Mine Carbon Ore Rare Earth Project. It will be the first new rare earth mine in the United States in more than 70 years and the first new coal mine in Wyoming in over 50 years. And it's happening in Ranchester, Wyoming, just about 9 miles south of the Montana border. So there you go. But anyway, let's take it back to Trump and Russia and Putin. They're talking about new sanctions to be levied against Russia. I see a huge opportunity for, speaking of mining, speaking of Montana, what about the Stillwater mine? And why did Joe Biden and John Tester allow the Russians to dump palladium into our market this entire time? So maybe there could be some very good news for the Stillwater mine in the midst of this.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. Look for sunny to partly cloudy skies for today. A slight chance for an isolated shower or storm into the afternoon, with high temperatures reaching up into the lower 90s for Bozeman, but upper 90s for Billings. Then for tonight, chance for some scattered showers and storms. Mid-50s for Bozeman's low temperatures tonight, with lower 60s for Billings. And that's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Caro.
Securing America.
A Colorado Army National Guardsman was recently honored with the Soldier's Medal for his heroism during a routine day 2 years ago. Sergeant First Class Robert Cruz, who's been a guardsman for more than 22 years, was driving home in August of 2023 when he came across a four-car accident. One of the cars had rolled over. He told Fox 31 in Denver after the medal ceremony.
I told my two daughters to sit in the car. I left my phone with them. left the keys, and I just went and assessed what had happened.
The car that rolled over then caught fire.
It's not like the movies, right? It's not explosions and stuff like that. It was, for the most part, a subtle fire, but I knew that it could get worse really quick. So I really wanted to get that guy out of that vehicle as fast as I could.
He did, saving the man's life. The Soldier's Medal is the highest honor a soldier can receive for actions outside of combat. Kim Uretsky, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August.
Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck, listen, and subscribe.
From Mondakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Man, what the heck, Microsoft? I swear, you leave for 1 week, you're out of the office for one stinking week, and then your computer just, like, has to think about everything. How about you just do your job, laptop computer? Come on now, we got listeners we got to deliver for here this morning, and I got a whole bunch of show prep. It's a Monday anyway, so you got to catch up on everything that we might have missed over the weekend here. And then on top of that, man, I'm just trying to catch up on some of the things I might have missed over the weekend. All right, let me see here. All right, it's slowly but surely starting to move for me here. Since I told you about that Peter Ducey story, now I want to play it for you. All right, come on, Microsoft, take your sweet little time. Oh, these stinking things. I know some of you are out there saying, Aaron, why don't you use a Mac? I wish I was smart enough to use a Mac earlier on in life. I'd be much better off today, probably, but stuck with these stinking... take your sweet time, Microsoft. Don't worry. Nobody's got a show to do around here. Hey, I'll tell you what. Man, what were we talking about here? So we were talking about... Oh, yeah. So you guys remember, I was hammering this topic during the 4 years of the Biden tester regime, that and now you've had our Montana congressional delegation right out the gates, right first of the year, maybe even first after the election. Of course, they were talking about it before. But now that we got John Tester out of the way, we've got a four-man Republican congressional delegation. Everybody is on the same page fighting for more mining jobs in Montana. And, of course, you know, President Trump, I think he's really trying to negotiate an end to this this war in Ukraine and trying to stop the killing and trying to stop all the money that's being spent on that war as well. And but the word over the weekend is that he is, you know, officially losing has lost patience with Vladimir Putin. And Donald Trump has said this since day one. Look, if this war doesn't end, if they don't end this war, then he's going to play hardball and he's going to step it up. And so I say that to say that, look, the Stillwater mine, remember, we had hundreds of miners that were laid off at the Stillwater mine here at the base of the Beartooth Mountains here in Montana. And we've been saying this since this whole, you know, since Biden and Putin's war in Ukraine started from day one, which is like, okay, Joe Biden talks tough about Russia and about Ukraine, but he never really acted tough about it, which, you know, weakness is what rolled out the red carpet for the invasion in the first place, as we've all talked about here. And the thing that we've all talked about since day one, which is like, okay, if you're going to go tough on Russia, then why don't you go tough on Russia? Instead, they allowed the Russian oil to keep flowing. I mean, Russia, you know, we were basically, because Joe Biden was undermining American energy, he was basically helping to fund the war in Ukraine. Same thing. Biden was allowing Russia to dump their palladium into the United States market. And then and simultaneously, Joe Biden had this stupid electric vehicle mandate and was forcing EVs onto the market. And then what did that do? That also undermined the Stillwater mine and our platinum palladium mine here in Montana. And so Now, early on, you had Senator Steve Daines, you had Congressman Troy Downing, and, of course, Congressman Zinke and Senator Sheehy. They have now supported, you know, basically blocking Russian palladium imports into the United States market. And I think President Trump has probably been holding off on doing that because, you know, before he starts pressing those big red buttons, he wants to make sure that he's done everything he can. And so, but anyway, I wonder, it'll be interesting to see if in this new round of sanctions we see some big news when it comes to the Stillwater mine and on that front. So that's something that I hope to see in particular, if there is a new round of sanctions that came out. All right, let's see. Let's get into the big Montana stories that I've got for you here this morning as I was fighting with my computer here. Of course, I didn't even get nowhere started on organizing my show prep for the morning yet. But let me tell you about a couple of big stories that I put together for our Montana Talks website last night. Getting a head start on the morning here, and of course it was big news, so I wanted to write about it, just like we want to talk about it here this morning. Let's start with federal judges, because part of the reason why, you know, our mining industry has taken a hit here in Montana is the same reason why our timber industry has taken a hit here in Montana. It's the same reason public access to so-called public lands has taken a hit here in Montana. It comes down to these radical left-wing federal judges. We've got Democrat-appointed judges that basically own every single seat in the federal judiciary in Montana right now. All Democrat appointees. All who have made very bad decisions, right? But now, so this was big. I'm sure you guys heard about this last week because I was reading app messages, staying up on everything going on while I was gone. So last week, there was a couple of things. First, you had President Trump nominating Bill Mercer to be a federal judge here in Montana. That was very good news. Very good news. Bill Mercer is a former U.S. attorney. Here in Montana, a Republican-appointed U.S. attorney. He's also a Republican state representative in the Montana House of Representatives. And based off of the praise that I'm seeing, he's earned praise from Democrats. He's earned praise from moderate Republicans. And he's earned praise from conservative Republicans in the legislature as well. But a lot of people thought that Bill Mercer was being nominated for the federal judge seat being vacated by District Judge Susan Waters. But Bill is filling another seat. Remember that one from last year? So we've got good news. It's not just one judge seat that's going to be filled. We've got two that Trump can fill in Montana.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. You've probably heard the term Voterama a lot in recent days as the Senate wrestled with the big, beautiful bill. Well, here's a breakdown. It's Senate speak for a marathon voting series. That's where senators take vote after vote after vote on a series of amendments. The Votapalooza sometimes runs 10 to 15 hours. There's only 30 seconds to a minute of debate between all roll call votes. A Votorama only happens when the Senate is dealing with the budget or budget reconciliation. That's the special process the Senate uses to avoid a filibuster when it deals with fiscal or tax matters. 60 votes are necessary to clear a filibuster, but the Senate just needs a simple majority to pass a budget-related item under reconciliation, and there's no procedural vote to break a filibuster, unlike conventional Senate operations. There's limited debate under the budget, only 20 hours, but amendments are unlimited. That's why there's so many votes, and that's why the enterprise consumes so much time. Votoramas aren't even an annual thing, but the Senate has already done three this year, and more might be in the offing. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Montana Talks is the show where we get a chance to hear from leading statewide lawmakers. We also get a chance to hear from folks inside the Trump administration. But you know where our best information comes from? It comes from you. You get a chance to call into the show. You get a chance to be heard all across Montana because the show is called Montana Talks, the show where you get to talk. You can message us on the Montana Talks app, or you can even call in at 406-294-0970. Montana Talks, statewide, 9 to 10.
Hey, Dad, how do airplanes fly? What's in this box? Is this tree good for climbing? How are babies made? What does this thing do?
Kids are curious about everything, including guns. Talking to them about gun safety in your home is a good first step, but you can do more. Always keep your guns locked unloaded, and stored separately from ammunition. Safe gun storage saves lives. Learn how to make your home safer at nfamilyfire.org. That's nfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by nFamily Fire, Brady, and the Ad Council.
Morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Egg Report. I'm Russell Nimitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Egg Network. Well, according to the American Lamb Board, the quarter one 2025 U.S. quarterly lamb report shows a lot of positive trends for American lamb, despite relatively flat numbers. Overall, lamb sales were down slightly in the U.S. for the first 13 weeks of the year. However, they say American lamb sales fared a little bit better, down 1.2% in volume sales and a marginal growth of 0.4%. Now, these numbers don't necessarily give the full picture, though, and that's because the Easter holiday is a very important factor to consider when comparing numbers. The figures for Q1 2024 include sales from the Easter holiday, whereas this year's report doesn't account for Easter sales, as the holiday fell much later in the year. Now, U.S. lamb exports also saw a notable increase. In fact, March lamb exports were the largest since 2019. And they say these increases were driven by larger shipments to places like Mexico and the Caribbean. You can read more by visiting us online at westerneggnetwork.com or checking us out on our social media channels. Stay with us. We'll have more egg news right after this.
Verified increases in vitamin A and E in forage grown with in-soil algae has generated increased cattle health and productivity at Reminis Ranch. A 162% and 68% increase respectively has boosted conception rates and immune system health, significantly reducing the need for mineral supplements and chemical fertilizer. In-soil algae at Reminis Ranch. Healthy soils for better beef and healthier people. Find us at remangus.com.
At AgWest, we know ag financing like you know that the office with the best view isn't a traditional office at all. For over a century, we've supported the people who are the heart of ag and believe you deserve a financial partner who works as hard as you do. Give us a call from your office, wherever that may be. We'd love to chat. Find us at agwestfc.com. Equal opportunity provider and employer, equal housing lender.
Well, regardless of your position on the immigration debate, the past couple of months have certainly proven the growing need for farm labor reform to those not familiar with the ag industry. And Washington Congressman Dan Newhouse, a member of the House Ag Committee, says he's been working with the committee chair, G.T. Thompson, on what can get done to make sure farms and ranches across the country have the needed labor to safely produce our food, fuel, and fiber.
We've been working on legislation, as you know, we've talked about before, to update and improve the laws and regulations around the guest labor programs that we have, the visa programs for agricultural labor. I think this, where this leads, it gives us a tremendous opportunity to finally get some of this legislation across the finish line.
He adds that law enforcement must continue to do its job and root out bad actors, but only Congress can tackle this issue head on. And finally this morning, the Public Lands Council has submitted comments as part of the National Endangered Species Act Reform Coalition to the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service's call for information about how the agency should implement Section 10A of the Federal Endangered Species Act. That's a look at your Daybreak Ag Report. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right. I was going to open up the show this morning by saying, hey guys, if I've got dated information or if there's more to this story, hey, call in, message us on the Montana Talks app or something, fill me in. Because, yeah, I enjoyed a few days off, so might be out of the loop on some of the news stories. But I know our friend David Noble is in the loop because he always does a great job filling in for me on the show here. David is on the phone lines right now. David, great to hear from you. Are you already having withdrawals? Do you want to come join us? You can come into the studio if you want.
Well, Aaron, I'm calling to get on the air during the 6 o'clock hour, so I think that answers the question. I just wanted to say I thought you had a great point opening the show with this new deal with Trump sending Patriot missile defense systems to Ukraine. I just read in the Wall Street Journal that the EU is going to pay for those, and Trump was quoted as basically saying, this is a business deal for us. This is really no deal, no different than an arms deal to Europe. And so we want to sell, we sell weapon systems to Europe all the time. But what I really love about this story, Aaron, is how there's been so much of these neo-isolationists, and they always claimed to be America first. They always claimed to be MAGA. They always claimed to be the true Trump supporters. And I've been saying for years and years and years that once, if Trump is going to do everything he can to settle that war, and if it breaks down, he's going to support Ukraine even more than anybody else. And so I just wanted to call and say, told you so. Thanks, Aaron. Have a great show.
Hey, that's right. You too, David. Yeah, thanks. Yeah, and hey, anytime you want to come in and join us, it's always open for you. Yeah, yeah. I need to catch up on some of the podcasts that I missed from last week while David was in the house. But yeah, big thanks to David Noble for filling in on the show. No, this was a point I made last year. During the campaigns, when there was a lot of virtue signaling going on out there, there were people who were thinking, oh, you know, when it came to the Ukraine issues, like, no, Donald Trump made it clear, like, he's going to fight to end this war. But like, but if Putin wants to sit there and play games, he'll come in even stronger to bring this thing to an end. And that's exactly what Donald Trump is getting ready to do. The guy doesn't mess around. Ask the terrorists in Tehran about that one. But, yeah, I think it, you know, could be a huge opportunity for the Stillwater mine here in our neck of the woods if this new round of sanctions, Trump's finally had it with Putin, and he comes out with a new round of sanctions. Because, really, at the end of the day, that is what has needed to happen since day one. And what Joe Biden and the Democrats did was they sat there and they talked tough and, oh, they all put the Ukraine flag in their profile photos on social media to virtue signal and pretend to care about the people that they basically allowed to be slaughtered in Ukraine. But in reality, their policies undermining American energy, undermining American mining and more was funding the whole stinking war in Ukraine. And then of course, our taxpayer dollars and everything. I mean, absolutely crazy. All right, I'm going to talk more about these federal judge opportunities here in Montana. I wanted to get David's take on that as well. So, David, you can call back in if you want. But I'm going to go back to this story about Trump now having two federal judge seats to fill here in Montana. Back in '60. The story, that was the Peter Ducey story that I was going to try to play for you earlier in the hour. So we got it for you there in the Fox News update. But yeah, that is the story of the additional sanctions that we've been talking about here this morning. Okay, this is the headline on our Montana Talks website. A lot of Montanans don't know just how huge this is for us. I talked about this last year. Over a year ago, I said on this radio show that how this was one of the best, probably under-recognized moves in Montana politics. And a lot of Montanans didn't even notice it or how significant it was. And a lot of conservatives didn't even talk about how significant or how important this was. So the news came out this past week that former U.S. Attorney and State Representative Bill Mercer was nominated by President Trump to fill a federal judge seat in Montana. And this is huge because the liberal federal judges are what have been killing Montana for working class folks. They constantly side with the radical environmentalist elites. They shut down jobs and they shut down access to public lands. Now, apparently, some of the initial news reports last week led folks to believe that Mercer would be filling the seat of U.S. District Judge Susan Waters, a Democrat appointee who recently announced that she was retiring. But here's the great news. The Waters seat is an additional federal judge seat in Montana that will be filled by President Trump and a GOP-controlled Senate. Because, see, a lot of people forgot about what happened last year. Remember what happened last year? This is what I say is one of the best under-recognized moves in Montana politics. The seat that Mercer is apparently being nominated to fill is that of U.S. District Judge Dana Christensen in Missoula, another Democrat appointee on the bench. Christensen announced he was stepping down to senior status last year. Like the left-wing operative that he is, he made the move last year in hopes that former President Biden and former left-wing Senator John Tester would pack the court with another liberal federal judge to sit on the bench for potentially decades to come. They did it because they wanted to hurry up and get another liberal judge on the bench in Montana in the case that Trump won the election and Tim Sheehy won the election. So Biden and Tester were trying to pack the court with another far-left judge. And Montana's U.S. Senator Steve Daines blocked the whole court-packing scheme. If Senator Steve Daines had not blocked that move by the Democrats, and of course he was getting attacked by the liberal mob media over it, they would have had another far-left activist judge on the bench for decades. And they would have blocked any effort to revive our mining industry, any effort to revive our timber industry, any effort to revive our access to our so-called public lands would have been blocked by another liberal federal judge for decades had Senator Steve Daines not blocked that move last year. So now President Trump has not just one federal judge seat to fill in Montana. He's got two. Told you, Montana's got a fighting chance once again.
This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, let's see. We got Ashley Smith-Thomas joining us here in just a few minutes. Here, let me see what I can sneak in the meantime here. But, yeah, we're going to talk about Secretary of State Marco Rubio. He is on a whirlwind tour right now, doing an incredible job as Secretary of State, by the way. So we're going to catch up with Ashley Smith-Thomas here in just a few minutes on this Monday of Montana Talks. Let me just briefly get this story on your radar as well. Another story that I put on our Montana Talks website last night. Do you guys remember... God, when was this? Was this 2022, 2023? You guys remember this from a couple years ago, a few years ago? There was all these news stories about how there were these threatening messages sent to an LGBTQ club on the Montana State University campus. And then there were these news stories about how an Asian American student was getting anti-Asian hate messages sent their way. Would you guys be surprised if I told you that the whole thing was a hoax perpetrated by somebody who actually was affiliated with the LGBT group? Would it surprise any of you if I told you that the hateful anti-Asian messages came from an Asian American student? None of you are surprised. Okay, yeah, I figured none of you would be surprised. I figured that would be exact. Because how many times have we seen this play out? Just another Smollett example of another fake hate crime, another race hoax, another anti-LGBTQ hoax. See, they wanted you to think, oh, wow, all those white kids at Montana State University, all those conservative white kids at MSU and Bozeman, they're anti-Asian. It's like the liberals are the ones blocking the Asian kids from attending Harvard. You're the anti-Asian ones, you nut jobs. Oh, they just hate LGBTQ. They don't hate LGBT whatever. They might disagree. They might have... Yeah, different religious beliefs. They may not agree with your lifestyle, but that doesn't mean that they hate you. See, disagreement does not equal hate. I know it's hard for some of our haters on the left to realize that because they hate Trump. They hate anybody who supports Trump. And so they assume that if you disagree with them, that you hate them because they hate people that disagree with them. But what they don't realize is like, no, we just disagree with you. We don't hate you. But yeah, no, wait till we talk about this story. We're going to talk about this story later on in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. Let's see. Here it is. Another fake race hate hoax exposed, this time at Montana State University. We've got that story right now on our Montana Talks website. So yeah,
according to a liberal news service story that was shared by Nonstop Local TV, a man accused of emailing a death threat to the Queer Straight Alliance at Montana State University and sending vulgar images and slurs to a fellow student pleaded guilty Wednesday in U.S. District Court in Missoula. Rex Wu. Who? Rex Wu. W-U. Rex Wu pleaded guilty in a plea agreement to felony cyberstalking with the intent to harass or intimidate. And this is where it really gets rich. In the federal court case, Wu also admitted to harassing an MSU student, Alexandra Lynn, who brought attention on campus to the threats against QSA and other unrelated discrimination incidents. On campus, however, Wu presented himself as aligned with Lynn. Wu helped Lynn plan an anti-hate teach-in at MSU, according to court records. Wu, the guy responsible for all the anti-Asian hate messages and the other anti-LGBTQ threats, Wu was president of the Chinese Culture Club at MSU and testified about the increase of hate crimes on college campuses to the Montana Board of Regents. I mean, my goodness, how many times have we seen this play out? Another fake hate crime hoax. Left-wing groups use fake hate crime hoaxes like this all the time to advance their agenda, promote their events, and to gain sympathy for their cause. And a willing accomplice in the left-wing biased media runs with the hoax every single time, even here in the liberal Montana media. All right, let's go to it. Go to the phone lines now. We've got Ashley Smith-Thomas with us now on the phone lines. Ashley, thanks for joining us. So once again, Freedoms Fund USA, Secretary of State Marco Rubio. I tell you what, you know, our folks back here in Montana are so impressed with his efforts as Secretary of State.
Oh, absolutely. You know, I've said this all the time. I really think he's a rock star, and he truly is. The shining star within the administration. He's done such a great job as Secretary of State. You know, you look at back when he served in the Senate, he served on the Foreign Affairs Committee as well as the Intelligence Committee. He's part of the Gang of Eight. So you can tell that he is definitely in his element and represents the United States well.
Yeah, and, you know, I think what we're seeing now is the Marco Rubio before he was a U.S. senator in particular. I mean, he was a Tea Party activist. He was a hard-charging conservative who wasn't, you know, putting up with nonsense in Florida. And you know, and then, of course, you become a U.S. senator, and maybe he felt like he had to kind of play the game and, with the old, you know, good old boy politics of the United States Senate. But man, he just has come out swinging as Secretary of State. He's in the middle of a worldwide kind of whirlwind tour right now as we speak, as I understand it.
Yes. Yeah, so last week we witnessed Secretary of State Marco Rubio. He traveled to the Indo-Pacific. This is his first official visit to Asia. He met with foreign ministers of the 10-member Association of Southeast Asian Nations, so ASEAN, in Malaysia. And so he has definitely been on this tour. He spent 36 hours there in Malaysia. I read some reports that some of the Asian countries wish that he had more time, and they look forward to his return and being able to further conversations with him.
You know, it reminds me, too, because a lot of the conversations involve tariffs and trade and, you know, the advancing the America First agenda of President Trump. And, you know, some of these countries are getting smart about working with the United States here. And I saw that Speaker of the House Johnson was on Sunday Morning Futures yesterday. And what was it? For the first time in a long time, we actually had a budget surplus here, thanks to President Trump's tariffs and of course peeling back a lot of the spending from the Biden regime as well. But for 1 month, we actually had a budget surplus, and they're crediting these tariffs.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, you look from the very beginning, President Trump is a businessman, right? He's going to make sure that we have the best deals and that there's money coming back into the United States. I mean, for so long, we had countries take advantage of the United States, take advantage of our just financial success, take advantage of our aid, et cetera. And so you have President Trump now saying enough is enough, and let's have a conversation. And I think by him making good on his promise, I mean, you look here what happened last week when Secretary of State Marco Rubio was over in Asia. President Trump had threatened to impose punitive tariffs on more than 20 countries if they did not strike deals with Washington by the 1st of August. So you had Thailand, Malaysia, Laos, Myanmar, Cambodia, Philippines, and Indonesia. They were sent letters warning that they'll face tariffs ranging from 20 to 40% levies. And then Trump also announced 25% tariffs on two key partners, which was Japan and South Korea. They're not members of ASEAN, but they did have delegations that were attending the conference. And, you know, you look at that, so far when President Trump issued these tariff warnings there in April, two countries came to the table, and that was Great Britain and Vietnam. And Vietnam is the only Asian country and the second globally to reach a trade deal with the United States. And under that agreement, many goods will face a tariff of 20%, but a 40% levy will remain for so-called transshipments because that provision was implemented to aim at Chinese companies that were accused of passing their products through Vietnam to avoid tariffs. And so you look at that, President Trump just wants a good deal. He wants what's in the best interest of America. He doesn't want countries to take advantage of the U.S. anymore. So hopefully these 20 Asian countries will come to the table and have a discussion and strike a deal with President Trump.
Yeah, and of course, President Trump is expected to host the NATO Secretary General here at the White House later today. So we're expecting some big news on the Russia front out of there. You know, hey, even Putin should know, don't mess with Trump. Ashley Smith-Thomas, great to have you on the show as always. Thanks for your time.
Thank you for having me.
All right. Appreciate it. Back right after this. I think what I need to do now, I want to cue up that soundbite because this is worth highlighting here. That Speaker of the House, I mean, he just slipped this one in here. They should have led the Sunday morning shows with this one about how the United States actually had a budget surplus thanks to President Trump's efforts. I know it sounds crazy.
Waking up on the right side. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
To those that say, oh, there's a big split. No, 84% of respondents called the strike military actions. It's not a war because it wasn't a war. From the Washington Free Beacon, 90% of Donald Trump voters support the strikes that decimated Iran's nuclear program because 90% have common sense. There has been an effort to try to divide the conservative movement, Trump supporters, on this issue. People have tried to drag me into it. I'm not getting into it. You know, people are entitled to their opinion. It can differ than my opinion. My opinion is I'm in full, complete agreement with the president and Donald Trump's doctor.
From coast to coast, from sea to shining sea, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Hey, Sean Hannity here, and these are certainly uncertain times with everything happening overseas. We've got to be on high alert here at home. Everyone needs to go to BYRNA.com. Why? I want you to see this non-lethal technology that can save lives, and you will see their compact launcher, the world's smallest, less lethal pistol launcher. You can incapacitate any perpetrator, regardless of size, 30 to 40 minutes. The great thing about Burner is it has kinetic rounds designed to incapacitate these people. The compact launcher is perfect for women if you want protection and you don't want to carry a firearm, and you can put it in your purse and nobody will know you have it. Burner, no background check, can be shipped directly to your door. BYRNA is trusted by all of the professionals because the technology is so superior and a great alternative to lethal force. Visit Burner, BYRNA.com today. And find the right launcher for you and your family. That's BYRNA.com.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. Look for sunny to partly cloudy skies for today. A slight chance for an isolated shower or storm into the afternoon, with high temperatures reaching up into the lower 90s for Bozeman, but upper 90s for Billings. Then for tonight, chance for some scattered showers and storms. Mid-50s for Bozeman's low temperatures tonight, with lower 60s for Billings. And that's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Michael Caro.
Hey, I know how it goes, man. You're driving around Montana. Maybe you're pulling the camper or something like that. You're going on a trip, but you still want to listen to your Montana news and commentary. Well, you can get all 4 hours of Montana Talks on the Montana Talks app. So whether you're in cell range or out of cell range, you just want something to listen to, all 4 hours of Montana Talks right there at your fingertips. Put it on your smartphone. It'll even show up on your dashboard. Get the Montana Talks app on your phone.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, yeah, this was one of the stories. I saw something about this story. I saw that Governor Gavin Newsom out of California, he was attacking Vice President J.D. Vance for taking his family to Disneyland. So apparently California Governor Gavin Newsom doesn't want people enjoying tourism in his own state. But anyway, I know I've got a story that gives a little bit more to it here in front of me. I think the Daily Wire has a great write-up about it. But here you go. Tim and Savage sent us a message on the Montana Talks app earlier. New scum on JD for taking his family on vacation. This from the guy who went on vacation during COVID. Yeah, not only did Gavin Newsom go on vacation during COVID-19, as he wouldn't even allow people to go for a bike ride on an outdoor bike path. He wouldn't even allow people to go surf out on the ocean. He shut down public schools, but then put his own kids in private schools. He shut down, you know, dining inside restaurants, but then he was spotted at some fancy place. I think it was called the French Laundry or something like that. Yeah. Yeah, that guy, man. Let's see, what else do we got here? Tim and Billings sent us a message on the Montana Talks app. Paging Talcum X and Rachel Dolezal, your table at the mental illness restaurant is ready. I wonder, is that must be in reference to the fake hate crime hoax at Montana State University. I'm assuming that's why Tim was paging Talcum X there. John in Bozeman, Jussie Smollett 2.0. Yeah, except for how many Jussie Smolletts have we had? Remember the Air Force Academy incident? Where, oh, there was all these anti-black hateful messages that were being posted, directed towards black cadets at the Air Force Academy. And then they found out it was actually a black cadet that was posting the messages. You couldn't just have a Jussie Smollett 2.0 because there is a Jussie Smollett 200.0. There has been so many fake hate crime hoaxes that we've seen over the years. I mean, I couldn't even throw out a number right now. We do have a lengthy list posted inside that same story at MontanaTalks.com right now, though, showing all these fake race hoax crimes, these fake anti-LGBTQ crimes. These people are doing it on purpose to gain sympathy for their radical woke left-wing agenda, time and time again. All right, before we run out of time this hour of the show, let's go to Speaker of the House Mike Johnson. Here he is. I thought this was very big news. I thought they could have led the Sunday morning shows with this one.
I do. Look, the Republican Party is the party of fiscal responsibility, and we're going to continue to demonstrate that. In the big, beautiful bill, people call it a spending bill. It wasn't. The only increases in spending were for those two priorities, border and national defense. Everything else was carving back and saving money from the budget, which is why you call it a reconciliation bill. So, well, that we would have actually achieved, and we will, in excess of $1.6 trillion in savings. That is an historic number. No Congress, no legislative body in the history of the planet Earth has ever saved so much in a bill. Now, it's just the first step, though, Maria, as we point out. We have a $37 trillion federal debt. You and I talk about this all the time. We all do. And we have to have a combination of reduced spending and greater economic growth. We put jet fuel into the economy with the One Big Beautiful Bill. It will be that. And extraordinary growth. We're projecting 3%. Going forward, and $4 trillion in new revenue just out of the legislation. But more is ahead. And the tariff policy and the other policies of the Trump administration have been wildly successful. In fact, we had a budget surplus, as you know, in the month of June, the first time since 2017 when President Trump was last in the White House. So yeah. More of that is ahead. Every American will feel it. And the Big Beautiful Bill was geared and written for lower and middle class earners in the country, they're going to be feeling really good as we go into that midterm election in 26.
I'm really glad you mentioned the surplus. I was going to raise that because there was so much hysteria over President Trump's tariffs, and yet look what it is getting you. $100 billion in tariff revenue on an annualized basis, actually creating a surplus for the month of June. The last time we saw a surplus was the president's first term in 2017.
Oh, there we go. But yet, how many people out there want to virtue signal and act like, oh, there's no difference between Republicans and Democrats? All the latest Montana news and commentary. You know, Facebook and Big Tech don't want you to see it. So get it straight from the Montana Talks app. Get the Montana Talks app on your phone.
I'm a pretty great multitasker. I can wash dishes and do laundry. I can roller skate while walking my dog. I can even order lunch while doing my homework. But I can't use my phone while driving. A distracted driver is one of the leading causes of death in the United States. So when it comes to driving, please, don't be a multitasker.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Your News Talk 970 and 103.3 FM KBUL. Your home for Fox News, Hannity, and Montana Talk.